This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Sorry if I seem a little distracted today.
No, I
just want to apologize in advance if I seem distracted at all. That's not That's not towards you.
It's fine. I
have my own stuff going on.
I actually relate to it. I feel like what you're alluding to is probably I'm just sort of feeling this type of episode, I think, requires something of us that I don't currently have. I wish I had another day. That's how I'm feeling.
I think that would help me. I think
you're alluding to something specific. Mine is just sort of a non-specific, like,
I definitely wish I had another day or possibly more days than that to not do this.
Okay.
We are doing it now. That's okay.
But something is distracting you specifically.
I guess, yeah. You could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want to say what it is, or do
you? Oh, fine.
You don't have to. I don't care. I don't care. I do not need to know
okay,
exactly what it is.
Begging to know.
I appreciate knowing that you have something going on that's distracting you, and I'm actually fine just moving on and getting into. I wish we didn't have to do it right now.
He begged me, but
I wish I had at least another day, probably more than.
There's a mongoose in my car.
The animal.
The animal.
It's alive.
The snake hunting animal. Yes.
Yeah, that's the only thing I really know. I don't really know what it looks like. The only thing I know about it is that
it's like a weasel.
I
mean, go look in my car if you want to see.
It's like the only thing that
fucking thing is taken over in there.
Kill a snake. So it is alive.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell you what's not alive.
The snake.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. And so that's why you introduced a mongoose into your
But now I'm going car. What am I going to put into attack the mug because the fucking thing it don't want to let me drive, you know what I mean? Don't want to let me steer.
It wants to drive.
That can't talk, obviously, but there's a conversation happening, which is, I killed the snake, I should get to pick the music, I should get to pick kind of where we're headed. And
so
it's frustrating.
It's not like commandeering anything, it's just talking.
No, it can't talk.
I understand, but it's just verbalizing, like it's vocalizing.
It's making a lot of sounds, and there's a physicality,
okay,
which is putting its little claws on the wheel and pulling
one
way.
It is commandeering the wheel.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that word, commandeer.
Yeah.
Commander, I think I've heard it.
The commander is also
it
a
is
word.
Commandering the wheel around.
So when I said it the first time, you said no because you just didn't know what that meant.
The way you said it sounded so fucked up to me that I just was like, let me get as far away from this part of the conversation as possible.
Where did you get it? You got it? You bought it somewhere?
I didn't buy it, but yeah, I got it somewhere.
You got it from the wild?
No, I got it from a store, but
you stole it from a store. Yes. Okay. Okay. I think we should start. And this is fine.
Fucking
this is
narc
fine.
Gonna call the cops.
This is
blow it up, Scuzz, man.
It's a dynamic that we haven't
gonna call the cops.
Had before. I don't even remember the last time I was in studio with this group, even did an episode with this group.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just feeling very behind on sort of what they've been up to, why they're back, if there's like a specific thing that like brought them. it. We have.
Do we just want to give the floor to our guests? I think we both have pretty thoroughly acknowledged that we're not prepared to do the episode. Do we just want to let?
I don't want to do that either.
Catch us up.
I actually don't want to do that either. But I'm happy to introduce them and get them started. We have Dom is here. Or he's not here. He's somewhere else. I don't know what the story is with that. But Dom is joining us from elsewhere.
And the is that a new place, Dom?
It's where I've been kind of it's where I've been held for the last several months. Okay. I'm in a WGA holding cell is what I'm in, a Writers Guild of America holding cell.
Okay. Maybe this will help. Put it on. So the Scuzz Man is here also.
Yeah, what up?
What's up, Scuzz Man?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Scuzz Man.
That mongoose.
You nasty motherfucker.
That's me. That's what they call me.
He has
a nasty motherfucker.
a sunglasses case on his like crotch area. I thought it was.
Yeah, I was like gonna ask what that was.
I thought it was belt. Just resting on it, and then he separated his legs.
No, never
and
moved.
It didn't fall.
I was like, he's wearing a codpiece.
I thought this was an odd place just to set it.
Yes.
But as it's gone on, it's like, no, it never is anywhere.
And he is attending to it now, not removing it. He's just unzipping it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how you use it.
Okay. Oh, okay. So yeah, his sunglasses were in there. Now they're mm-hmm. coming out.
It's my new style is to put the the sunglasses case.
And are those the
clipped on me
near
my crotch?
I believe, and I remember you emailing me that you were gonna get these. Those are the Cartman Respect My Authority top frames. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That's really
what I
cool.
That's what I base my whole persona on is Cartman Respect My Authority.
Good.
I do it pretty good. I do that voice pretty good.
Oh my gosh. I felt like I said,
yeah.
Am I a cartoon now or did Cartman become real life? Because I'm sitting with Cartman and then being told to respect his authority. And I do.
In the past, Scuzzman, I'm just trying to remember.
It's
what
hard.
The details about the your
you
collaboration.
Do so much. You're such a sort of Renaissance man.
Yeah.
And so to just pin you down to the most recent
there's
thing
a
that happened.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that.
I'm like
sure.
Leonard Bernstein. I got a lot of I got a lot of things and a lot of irons in the fire.
Did you see
you're
the,
suing
did you see the movie about okay. Yeah. You're
yeah,
suing.
I'm suing
the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but I know you're suing it.
I saw it and I'm fucking pissed, man. I'm fucking real pissed about it.
Because you have a lot of things going on
because I'm like oh that's like me he they're doing me he
I also don't
well,
think
steps
of him.
On a lot of what you were trying to do
I didn't see the movie when I think of Leonard Bernstein I don't think of him as like the guy who had a lot of things going on. I guess they cover that in the movie. I just think of him as like he made music.
He made a lot, almost
obsessively. Yeah,
okay,
he made a lot of music just like
which is sort of the only thing you don't do.
Yes.
So it does feel targeted in a way.
Well,
the Elvis movie, you had a similar issue.
I did have a similar issue with that.
Yeah.
Because he did a lot of stuff that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Or there, I do a lot of stuff, and I'm watching them do a lot of stuff. And I'm like, whoa,
yeah, it's
wait
not
a
the
minute.
Same stuff, but with Elvis, he did the army, right?
Right.
He did,
right.
Like, you know, he did the music.
Music,
like,
movies.
Yeah.
And he got that. You know, house, that big house that people go to.
Which you have had your eye on something like that.
Yeah, I have. I've been trying to build my own by getting more.
You've been
buses.
Trying to build your own house that people
out of
just
buses,
go to, out of buses.
Out of buses.
Because I remember the Scuzz bus is a big part of your identity.
Right,
It was like on the beach or like in the water, for a long time. You still have the bus.
I have the buses. I have a water bus now, one that's like where you go, you get access to the water by going into the bus and then jumping out the back and you're in the waves.
You walk on into the bus from the dry part of the beach and then enter the water from the back. It just seems like you could just walk into the water.
But this is what I love about Scuzz Man that people don't appreciate is that so much of life is our perspective. Mm. And so one person might tell this story. I parked my bus on a rickety pier, and when I came back, it had sunk. But what Scuzz Man will say is, I have a water bus now.
Yeah, exactly.
And just that tiny shift, just the angle you look at it from, and it's, you know, it's are you stuck in traffic or are you hanging out in the car? And I think that Scuzz, man, is always hanging out in the car, which is a bus, which is a water bus.
Exactly.
At this point.
So,
and I have another bus also perpendicular to that bus. That's
also in the water.
That's also in the water.
Double water bus.
It's perpendicular.
Yeah, it's kind of like half.
He uses
like,
that word a lot. I don't know if he knows what it means. He told me the other day that breakfast is perpendicular to lunch.
Right. It's perpendicular to the front of the bus. So it's even more in the water. So you go in the water bus and you go into you
I
go
hate
through
to
the,
do this.
You go through the other the front and you get to the perpendicular one.
I hate to do this because like but just I, so people can picture it.
I feel like this is how trying to picture it is like how they detect who's a replicant or something. Like
well yeah, I wanted to
fry you.
I wanted to ask if there was a letter shape that we could associate it with or anything, but
Yeah, I would say.
Are
like,
we? Are we? How are we with the letters?
Yeah.
Are we going like?
Well, I'm a writer.
Are we 100% on those?
I know all of them. I'm okay. Pretty sure I know all of them.
Okay, so you're this, writing. You are still. You're still writing.
Oh, of course.
Well,
okay.
Well, see, this is where me and the Scuzzman have a little bit of a falling out recently, if I can put it that way.
Is this related to why you're in a
WJA
holding cell awaiting arbitration? Yeah, I mean, if you want to hear, I mean, this is actually the first time Scuzzman and I have really like gotten to talk in a minute because our last project was bus centric. Is that fair to say, Scuzzman? The last project we worked on. We were working on a show called pitching a show and sold it called Who Wants to Be a Busionaire?
Okay.
And it was if you're familiar with the game show format of Who Wants to
it
be
sounds
a millionaire.
Like millionaire. Yeah. Who wants to be a millionaire? Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing except instead of winning $1 million, you can win a bus and kind of with each question you answer, you win like for the first question, if you answer it right, you win one of the wheels. And then if you answer the next question, it kind of like keeps going up in tiers until if you get the whole thing right, you get the whole bus.
And so that would mean at any time you can choose to leave.
Yeah. Do you want to answer another question?
However
or do
many
you
parts
wanna...
of the bus you've accumulated. And you risk, if you get one wrong, losing all of the bus parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could choose to walk. If you answer four questions right, you could choose to walk with like just the chassis. Or something to something like that.
Okay, so chassis, I would think, would be like something that comes in later, but I guess it's not something that you can apply.
It's not in the right order.
It's
no,
not,
there's,
okay.
Well, and so the reason we started working on this show.
Sorry,
during,
the judgment that came from like it's not in the right order. It's maybe not in the order that you would have put
it in. I guess that's right. I need to work on that. That's
but it
right.
Is his,
it's not in,
but it is his. But they made the show.
But
so
it's
it is
a value judgment
but it is
being placed
would,
on the order that, well, I'm sure there was, there must
network,
have been network.
Maybe the
he
network,
said they sold the show. Was there network input? I mean.
The network had some input. I mean, it was all happening very kind of below board. Like we didn't have formal meetings with the network executives, which I now know at
below
the time.
Below board is like not above board. Like
that's right. It was all below board.
Okay.
And I mean, I prefer things to be above the board or at board level.
Okay.
But this was below board because
it was under the boardwalk.
That's where the bus
like
yeah, the bus was
the
there.
Is.
Yeah.
I love below board. That's where I like to hang out.
We took the show out basically as soon as the strike started. As soon as the writer's strike began,
that seems like a great opportunity because you're talking about a game show, right? So, you know, at a time when they need something that has less scripted content.
That's right. And I had kind of the Scuzzman had kind of set this up and he asked me like he goes, I want you to be the guy. I want you to be the showrunner. I want you to be the head writer, the executive producer with me on this. And I was like, well, that's a huge opportunity for me, but I don't want to break any guild rules, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a strike. Yeah. Like the last thing you want to do is scab. And so he said, no, it's a game show. It won't be like that. But the more we kind of started stepping it out.
The last thing you want to do, the last thing you'd probably want to do is commit treason.
Yes. Yes. That's what, yeah. And what I've kind of learned.
Sorry, I honor the guilds and everything, but I think the safety of our country is a little more important than, you know.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were calling scabbing treason. You're saying treason against the United States or something like that is a way bigger.
Yes, you're just saying it's the last thing you'd want to do. That feels extreme to me. That feels like hyperbole.
Yes.
And the last thing you might want to do is murder.
Right. The kind of like what Chris Benoit did, for example, just as one example.
Oh, that's got to be among the last.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's just, and that's just off the top of my head. I'm sure there are like,
I think
even
he did
worse
like the crippler crossface to like his family and killed them. And that's a terrible thing. And, but
any Chris, really, Chris Dorner.
Yes. That's also, it's, and then I'm not organizing like those things necessarily, but I am putting them as something that would be worse to do than
scabbing, which is bad.
Yes.
But I think we can say scabbing is bad. You wouldn't want to do it without saying it's the last thing you'd want to do.
No, I need to be more intentional with my words.
Charles Manson.
Being Charles Manson would be a worse thing.
Wish
but
his name had been Chris.
And I just want to put, every time any of us have said scab, I don't know if this is something that, and it just happened again. I don't know if this is something you've noticed, Dom, working with the Scuzz Man, but like when we say that word, he looks around like, where is it?
And he licks
like,
his chops.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Is that, I don't know what that's about.
In the writer's
and all
room
the
floor,
hairs on his arms stand up.
He enjoys a good scab, I think, like in we've always had them at Crafty and no one touches them, but it's only for Scuzzman.
I'll take down a tray of scabs like you wouldn't believe.
Come on.
Yeah.
I just like,
I put them in my contract because I need them.
Yeah, you'd have to because they're never going to be there unless.
And they could be anything. They could be from anything. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't and you have put to in your rider, no brown scabs, and that's how you know they're reading the rider. Like you'll eat a brown scab,
because there's so many pyrotechnics involved.
Yes, exactly.
In what you're doing,
you need them
that
to
for
be
safety purposes. You have
to
say no brown scab.
Like you'll eat it. Like,
yeah. Oh, of course.
But I apologize for saying that scabbing is the last thing I'd want to do, but it was something I was trying to avoid doing during the strike, fair to say.
Okay.
But as me and the Scuzzman started breaking out Who Wants to Be a Bussionaire and figuring it out, a lot of the ideas that Scuzzman had and were asking me to execute were a lot of behind the scenes kind of things, like a lot of like, okay, we open on me in my dressing room and I'm looking at my, you know, it was a lot of like, it became a lot of kind of scripted.
Sounds like there's like a narrative story taking
place.
There
was a narrative story. Yeah. Yeah, he kept
just
talking
the fact that there are meetings at all, I guess, because the premise is so threadbare of it's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but instead of different amounts of money, I guess the one meeting that I would think you would have was how to organize the different parts of the bus,
meeting either didn't go well or didn't take place. Yeah.
No, I was kind of thinking wheels up, or we order it in the most important parts of the bus, the most crucial parts of the bus go last, and the kind of like little like a lug nut would be the first thing or something. But Scuzzman has a very different view on what is crucial to a bus than I do. For me, it was like the engine is probably the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. The engine. This is one of the big sticking points we had, you know?
You don't think that's important?
Well, I mean, if you're going to drive it, sure. But, you know, did you tell him about all the...
I just want to say, you've been here. You've been here through this whole conversation, so whatever.
You know everything I've told them.
Yeah. Whatever you've heard him say, that's what he's told us about.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
So you can tell us.
I was falling asleep.
Or you can like prompt him to tell us, but if...
Yeah, so did you tell him about about the other buses that I was put in the beach? Did you tell him about those?
No, I didn't. I didn't tell him. I mean,
I can tell you that hasn't come up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Talked about the two buses, one perpendicular to the other.
The one thing you've sort of added so far is that there was another bus, a second bus.
Yeah.
And now,
well, then we also had a circle of buses around. I just wanted to make sure that he told you guys about the circle of buses that were out, that were on the beach.
Okay.
This was part of our communication problem, is that you can just tell people things, Guzman. You can just convey the information that you have and you want people to know.
Especially if it's an idea kind of as simple as that.
Well, all right. Pertaining to the show, did you tell him about, like, the questions? The type of questions that we asked?
No. I am curious.
This was one of the sticking points. And again, the questions, the trivia questions themselves wound up, in the big scheme of things, taking up such a small part of a given episode, because so much of the episode was like these kind of cold opens with Scuzzman where he always wanted to fall down. And then like a kind of, and then a kind of like opening scene.
Sorry. Scuzzman as a producer wanted to be falling down in the spot, or the cold open was Scuzzman on camera wanting to fall down and somehow being unable to.
So the way I found out about what he wanted to do is I said, he was saying like, here's what I want to do for the cold open. And as he was telling me that, he fell down. Okay. And I said, are you okay? And he said, no, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
In the cold open. I said, Got it. So I wrote a scene where he kind of slips on a, like a, on some Vaseline that he was applying to himself to start the broadcast like he always does. And then he slips and falls down. But when he saw that scene, you got really mad at me. And you said, no, I want to talk about falling down and then fall down in the scene. And so I wrote that version.
That's interesting, because I usually think of a character falling down as surprising.
Right.
And they don't, or they don't like, normally
yes.
kind of front porch it with a bit of a speech about yes. how they're going to fall.
There's
down.
A whole movie about it, and he doesn't even end up doing it in the whole movie. They just like they push that off so much,
which I really didn't like. I was just like, come on, what's going on?
I had written a scene where he was putting Vaseline on himself because he said that he felt his skin felt too rough, and he said, no, I should be putting Vaseline on myself to make it easier for me to fall down.
Okay.
And I said, okay. And so I had him. And again, as if you're saying like, wow, this sounds very scripted, this is part of why I'm in the kind of.
I'm not. I wasn't saying that.
If you're saying to
myself.
But if you are saying that to yourself.
It wasn't at least my first response.
Well, Sean might have been. I kind of see.
Maybe you were. I wasn't hearing that, what it was about, and thinking, wow, this sounds very scripted.
It's time to come clean. I might have said that to myself, but I was really stuck on the circle of buses.
Mm-hmm.
Why it was so important.
Yeah, the lifeguards were too.
For it to be brought up.
Oh, I don't know.
And you know, the method through which that happened, and that this is all coming, this entire story is coming from the kinds of questions that were in the show.
Well,
which also has me distracted, admittedly distracted.
The kinds of questions were, Scuzzman wanted all the trivia to be about him personally, his background, his biography, things. And what he wanted, what he said to me was, find out things I don't even know about myself and ask the people about them. That's what I want.
Okay.
And I didn't,
Brave.
It's very hard to find out things about the Scuzzman. There's really no paper trail. You don't have much of an online footprint. I mean, is that fair to
say?
Well,
he's done.
No, I'm not on anything
online.
This is like
his fifth or sixth time doing the podcast, and we only talk about details about him. I don't know. It's not like a gigantic show. Like, I see what you're saying. Okay, it's not like a huge show.
No, but people know that. No, it is a huge show. Everyone listens to it, and therefore.
But it's accessible.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that he wanted me to find things out that no one knew, including people who listen to this show, including myself. And he said, even me.
Okay.
Scuzzman said, find out things I don't even know.
Even he doesn't know.
Yeah, and I was doing a lot of things to throw him off the scent. You know, I was doing a lot of things to confuse him so he would know.
Why?
Because he's trying to find things out about me. So it would also confuse me.
Yeah.
And
what's
then,
an example of something that you would do to confuse another person?
The buses.
We're going back to the buses.
The buses.
So that's why there are so many extra buses. You did that to confuse your friend.
I did
friend.
That to like, confuse my friend. I would also, you know, I would just go disappear for long periods of time.
That wasn't unusual, though. I didn't even clock that as being... You know what? I remember... one thing you did, you got a job for a week working as a plumber.
Oh.
To confuse me into thinking you were a plumber.
Yeah, no, you sounded surprised to hear that.
This is news to me.
You know, see, this is what he did. So then when he came back and I said, like, oh, I have this trivia question about you now we can ask on the show, is that you worked as a plumber. And you go, I didn't do that. I was doing that to throw you off the scent. And I said, but if you actually did do it, then I think it's fair game to act. Like,
is
it
that because it's
something
stinky?
You did.
It was like, it was because it's stinky and like when you do that?
Throw it off the scent. Yeah.
Is that, was that kind of,
I was
don't
trying
really
to get real stinky and I would just show up to people's places and start taking apart their sinks and taking apart their dishwashers and stuff like
that. No, those are some of the among the less stinky things that a plumber takes.
Sinks and dishwashers are relatively clean.
You're only thinking about the toilet then.
The toilet was what came to mind as like the stinky thing that a plumber works with.
Well, if you need a plumber for your dishwasher.
Right. Yeah, sure.
It's probably stinky.
Right. But I get that. Yeah. But it sounds like they didn't need him. He just went in there and started.
I just found doors that were open. Yeah. I just sort of went in.
Was that hard?
Was that hard? Yeah, I would drive around for a long time looking for doors that were open. People lock their doors. News to me. I don't know.
Oh, so you don't mean open like a jar. You mean unlocked. You're trying them.
Yeah, unlocked. I was definitely trying some. Some were ajar.
Okay. Scuzzman has trouble sometimes telling if a door is open or not. Like, if you show him a door, he's about 50%. It's basically as good as a random guess to know if it's open.
When I've been with him, he'll go, get a load of that door. It's perpendicular right now. And then he'll walk into it, or he'll slam it, or, you know, something will happen. But I never have been able to track what he's saying. You know, and what he's seeing when he says that.
I've had a hard time with doors in my life. They've been my biggest bugaboo, I would have to say.
I think there's bigger ones, but it is a big one for sure. Yeah,
it's probably the biggest one, I think, to me. Doors.
The scabs. There's so many things that you do that
that's a problem.
Ooh, I'm getting hungry just thinking about scabs.
All right, I didn't mean, I shouldn't bring it up. I'm sorry.
Why is this show so gross?
It is gross. It doesn't have to be this gross. I'm sorry.
Fucking
but
stinky plumber and eating the scat. It's just like always so gross. Like, I just wanted, you know, I really wanted to have a nice show.
Oh, this is nice.
I really wanted to have a nice show, especially today.
When you kind of barely wanted to do it, it seemed like.
Well, I know what I'm going back to when I get out of here.
And
which is like a mad.
Say what you want about a mongoose in the car. At least it's not a gross thing. It's like kind of like fanciful and like kind of.
Yeah,
it's fun.
And I don't want to argue
like Ricky
with
Ticky
you.
Tabby or what.
But
like
it is an animal in the car. They're going to the bathroom. I mean, they're
okay. They so have to go to you're saying that's gross too.
It's getting gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting gross.
You do you need I. Maybe I can help you with it.
It was
the uncrossing of the legs.
Yeah, holy cow. Look at the placement of that thing.
There's no shot clock here. Get the whole idea ready and then bring it to me.
I was thinking maybe I could help you out with this, with your situation, with your mongoose situation.
Okay, well, how would you help?
I've come across them before in my time. Well.
And did you?
Okay, so how you would help is just telling me that you've seen it before? Like,
so.
Do I have to hire you before I find out how you would help?
There is a process we have to go through. It's a lengthy thing, but we could just skip that, actually.
Scuzzman, when you say mongoose, are you picturing an animal with antlers?
Right. Isn't
like
that?
So he knows it's not like a goose, like a goose, like a bird. Like something.
No.
Every animal, he pictures animals. You want every animal to have antlers.
I want every animal to have antlers, and I'm sure this one definitely does. The one that's in your car. So what you got to do is you got to start with the antlers. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just if you start there.
I'm okay without the help, I think.
If you start there and work your way down, where are the antlers on this animal?
I haven't seen any.
Antlers are always on the head of an animal if they have them, I think.
So Dom says it's on the head.
I haven't
seen
it.
What do you do is when you want to grab him, right? You know? And you just want to, you want to fucking get him a little bit.
So your way of helping me is to tell me to grab the antlers.
Well, this is
of
just
this
no
animal.
To start with the antlers. Like, this is where it starts.
Start. You got to grab
them. And
then
you will be working your way down from there.
Yes, you're gonna weaken his mind by going starting. Then you're gonna want to get to the face. Okay. And from there, you're gonna.
I've really been trying not to like engage too much with the face of this snake killing animal.
This is why you're having an issue with it.
Okay.
But once it's its mind has been weakened, maybe it's less capable. Do you think the antlers are like attached to the brain, that they're like the handlebars of the mind?
I mean, yeah. I wish I had.
Yeah,
some...
you got to be careful not to rev it up like motorcycle.
Oh my god, that'd be so cool. I kind of wish I had some antlers on my mind, rev them up. Maybe I'd take that bus out.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time.
Hollywood Handbook.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. We're so excited to be working with Mack Weldon again. We wear Mack Weldon stuff. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon sweatshirt right now. But it has been, we've had a few years in the wilderness.
Great stuff. Yeah. We had a little bit of a period where we were not actively engaged in this partnership with them. It was really hard on us. I like to think it was hard on them. I don't know. That wasn't expressed to us ever. We
Nothing
struggled
was.
In that
yeah.
time.
And that was, I think, part of it was like really wanting to maintain a total separation from the partnership for a while. We are back. Mack Weldon, the underwear's great. The Ace sweatpants.
The sweatpants I have always loved. I recently ordered, and I will report back on them in the next ad, fingers crossed, if we have one, and I hope we do. What's going on? But I did order a polo shirt.
Wow.
A silver, and silver is their special fabric that is like antimicrobial. I got the Silver Peak polo shirt, and I don't really wear those, but I do kind of like them. And mm-hmm. this could be a whole new me that you end up seeing.
And so people might be asking, we'll just cover it in this add before we move forward, what happened to Mack and Weldon, the prospector characters you used to do for Mack Weldon ads. Mack and Weldon are dead. We want to like underscore that fact. It was very important to
it was not the only reason that for the break, but we did give them their space. We did take a break, and Mack and Weldon wasn't a reason that we came to that place with this company. And so they are dead. You know, no reason to go into any of the gruesome details. Those characters have been killed, murdered, and that's how they're dead. Was not natural causes, was not anything peaceful. They're gone.
Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants from the Ace collection. The Silver Peak polo, the Silver Crew Neck t-shirt. Great stuff. Get it at Mack Weldon. Timeless looks with modern comfort. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code THEBOYS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code THEBOYS.
Let's face it, folks. Shopping for loved ones can be difficult, but Aura is making it a lot easier. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? I know I am. Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos. So I took advantage of this. Obviously, people know I'm a wife guy, and my wife is also a mom. So for Mother's Day this year, I know I want to give her something special that makes her life a little bit easier. So I'm going to preload the Aura frame with images of gifts that I want her to buy me. That way, I'm taking so much of the pressure of shopping for me off of my wife. It's called being a considerate husband, and I can't imagine a better gift than a frame with a series of images of items I wish I had. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts to even friends in your life, everyone will love an Aura frame. It was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages, and they make it easier to let them know where they've maybe been letting you down and not getting you exactly what you want. That's why there's nothing more passive-aggressive and thoughtful than an Aura frame. Right now, they've got a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Oh, and terms and conditions? Yeah, they apply.
Hollywood Handbook.
All right, where were we? Were we at the face?
I haven't known where we are at any point.
I feel like Scuzzman has left me hanging a little bit with this show. With Who Wants to Be a Bussionaire? I was kind of left holding the bag on a job that turned out to be clearly against the strike rules, against like a job that did wind up being more scripted than I intended it to
be. Those cold opens sound like, would fall under the purview of the WGA. Yeah.
And act twos, and the trivia questions wound up just kind of become something we ran over the credits.
The contestants, I haven't heard you mention them at all. Were they a part of the show?
They were, Scuzzman played both the host and the contestant. We would shoot it in a way where he would ask questions, and then he told me, he goes, I'm going to alter my appearance. It's going to be crazy. It's going to, like, you're not going to be able to tell it's me. And ultimately, it was confusing. Like, it looked like we were cutting from the same shot to the same shot.
So not only is he, does he look the same, he's facing the same direction.
The eye lines are not right at all. He's looking right to left in both of them. And so it just is like, it looks like a mistake, like an editing mistake. Like he's asking questions that he knows the answer to, and then he's telling you the answer.
Some of them I didn't.
That's true. Sometimes he would stump himself, and those were interesting moments. But once we delivered this episode to the network, and once we kind of got started, you know, people, we put this out there, I realized I was in pretty big trouble. I got a very angry piece of mail from the WGA,
his name's not on any of the paperwork, I guess.
That's right. He signed the show over to me, he said. And he said, I want your name on this. It's a big opportunity for you. You're going to run this show. And I was like, the Scuzzman has never been this gracious to me before. You know, like it's always, if anything, I have to kind of fight for credit in things that we do. So it was a nice change, which is maybe why I was a little blinded to the risks involved.
Well, that's,
you know,
why the con works. It's the greed of the mark.
I got very greedy. I got so greedy, and it was a
human
con,
fallibility.
A lot of the kind of restaurants where we met up to talk, I when I went back to them, they weren't restaurant. Like it was an empty.
Infallibility is what Scuzzman was also trying to.
Yes, it's a story about human fallibility
in the cold open.
Yes,
like it. Right. It sounds interesting. Like the narrative structure. I mean, that's part of what makes it like a scripted show. But this is only that arbitration stuff only really happens once it's like a go project. So like this was
ready to go. The network was so excited.
What's
they
the
said,
network?
"Oh my god!" It was a comb. It was a kind of joint. Like
it was a
Hulu,
joint
Netflix, like they were gonna air it the same because they were just so like, oh my god, we're getting no content right now. We're getting
well. This
no-
was during
right.
the strike, okay. So they were this all in the same the room all the time anyway. Yeah.
We got them all.
Well, we were pitching them.
You got them.
We were pulling
them
out.
Proud of that. I was pretty proud that we got.
We
them
were.
All.
We were going to. When we were pitching this to them and showing it to them, we were kind of going in the room where the WGA was negotiating with them. We were saying, hey, can you guys pop out real quick and hear this?
Because they
and
were
so,
all right.
Because they were all in the same place, and ultimately, I think that is kind of how the WGA got a whiff of it and realized that this was
right
wrong and not what they kind of went against the not just the spirit of the strike, as I found out, but the letter of the strike, the literal right. intentions and goal of the strike. And so
what is life inside the WGA holding cell been like for you? Is Adam Conover coming by, you know,
he's not talking to me directly, but he's putting a camera on himself and kind of talking near me in a way that is conveying information to me some stuff I didn't know, a lot of stuff I did know, and then
so don't watch it, man.
No, I know. I can't help
you
it.
Know
I
don't it think all,
you have
right?
a choice. Like yeah.
No, it's nothing I disagree with. It's not even anything I disagree with. It's just a lot. And then you know, it's tough because they take away all my writing implements. I'm not allowed to have a pen. I'm not allowed to.
Oh, gosh.
And that's torture because they gave me a desk.
Those are your wins. Yeah. And so it must be so tantalizing to have a hard surface, but nothing
yes.
to
And
to,
all these thoughts. And I still have ideas for our show, Scuzzman. I do still have, I can't just turn it off.
I want to, since the desk is behind you, what is your podcasting equipment?
I'm straddling the toilet.
You're straddling the toilet.
Facing, and they give me podcast equipment.
The tank.
Okay. Facing the tank. Yeah, they give me a camera and a microphone because video isn't writing, talking isn't writing, but right. you know the pen to paper is writing. And
we learned that, didn't we, during the strike? Blow it up.
Boom.
Yeah.
Give Hell it yeah. us, man. Blow
Boom.
It up.
Boom. Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
Hey.
We can't because you're over there.
Nah, I know,
I'm going to break you out.
Was this a decision you made based? It sounded like you just kind of.
It seemed like you had totally cut bait here, but you're.
About what you're hearing today is.
Maybe just him straddling a toilet, I feel like, is when I saw you perk up. The idea of him straddling a toilet seemed to really activate you.
Honestly, what I would prefer, Scuzzman, is that you testify.
Maybe I'll come straddle that.
Maybe I'll just testify at the arbitration and tell people.
You can straddle the toilet facing the tank.
Testify at the arbitration?
That's what I would prefer to tell the full story, because I'm really taking a lot of the heat of this, and I've told them that we worked on this together, and I've told them these, and they say, well, it's just you, so you coming here and maybe could take a little bit of the heat off me and actually telling the full story.
Testimony that you want him to make is that he came to you and said, I have a show I want to do called Who Wants to Be a Bussionaire? It's like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but it's all the answers to the questions you get, different bus parts. Then asked you to do a bunch of cold opens where he is covered in Vaseline and wants to fall down.
It happens so gradually. You hear the description, you understand why you would not really think you were getting involved in a scripted show until finally you're so deep in rewrites. Yeah. And I actually got a look at the formal complaint registered against you, and I was surprised too, because you haven't even brought up that in addition to the fact that you were writing at all, there's like a sort of a plagiarism licensing thing happening where I guess the third act post questions would always be wholesale lifted scenes from Franklin and Bash, again with Scuzzman playing both parties.
Franklin and Bash, yeah.
And again with the eyelids, with them having conversations where they're facing the same way.
Yeah, which again was confusing. And Scuzzman's take on Bash, I think, he read too much into the name, the character name Bash. Like, I think he played Franklin, I think, pretty much
Franklin is meant to be played. Yeah, in the footage I saw, I thought it was a serviceable Franklin.
Fucking nerd.
But the
Franklin.
Bash character you played, like, kind of a bruiser, like a, like kind of a, you know, pinning people up against the wall or pinning yourself up against the wall, I guess, which, again, very spatially was confusing. So the Franklin and Bash guys are coming after me pretty hard as well for lifting their scenes. I mean, that was in the complaint that Chris Kaiser read me when they came and delivered the subpoena, and he personally dragged me off to the cell. Mm. My arbitration is tomorrow, Scuzzman, so if you're going to testify or break me out or anything, it's time's running out, you know?
Yeah, I think I'd go down there, talk to Chris Kreider, and...
That's not his name. You got to get... No, don't ask to speak to whoever you just said.
It's Chris Kreider, right?
It's not Chris Kreider.
Is he?
It's not Chris Kreider. Kaiser, but it doesn't.
Oh man, I'm thinking of Chris Kreider.
I know that's what you kept saying, yeah. But it's the
I
can go down there.
You felt comfortable talking to Chris Kreider. It feels like Kaiser's maybe you're a little more apprehensive about that.
Yeah, I don't like the Chris Kaiser guy, but if it was Chris Kreider, maybe we could get him, you know, come
I don't
down
know who
there.
That is. I don't know what hockey. Who he is. Oh. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, maybe he's. Yeah, maybe
professionally, or that's just something
yeah, professionally,
he likes.
Yeah. I see him on TV, so I assume it's professional. But he could be just a guy off the street.
He's thinking of Chris Chelios.
So you want me to come down there and talk about Franklin and Bash?
I want you to.
I can do that.
No, I don't. That's not what I want you to tell.
I
help me tell the full story.
That probably wouldn't be helpful because
no, for you to just
like,
come down and talk.
No, it's
about
a real acknowledgement.
That sounds
of,
like it would be basically a
it
confession.
Was Zach. Zach from Saved by the Bell was.
Yeah, Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Franklin or maybe
you said Zach Woods for a second.
Zach Woods.
You yeah. were briefly the misconception that Zach Woods.
Was either Franklin
was
or
either
Bash.
Franklin or Bash.
He'd have to be Franklin.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. I know.
You know, no, I get wasn't. My names wrong sometimes. I had a whole pad and paper with me at one point. And
with names on it?
Yeah, what did you do with it?
Well, I was using it to write down what I had to do for the day, and it was hanging on one of the buses, and I think it just like fell in the water or something, you know.
You were carrying it around with you and it was hanging on one of the buses.
Yeah, carrying it around with me. I come back from my day's work.
And it had and names on it, but it also had what you had to do.
And also had what I had to
that
do.
Had, that must
well,
have,
sometimes
I
names are what he has
yeah,
to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, man.
Yeah, that's right. I do names. A lot of the plumbing work I had to keep track of and all the parts that I was buying. But hey, man, I'm gonna break you out.
Yeah, don't do the try to do the fist bump.
The
with
fist
your camera
bump thing completely confused
does,
my laptop yeah. camera, and it made it's a laptop camera without keys because again I'm not allowed to write, so it's just kind right. of a, more of a clamshell. But you're gonna if you are gonna break me out, if that is what you don't try to send me a cake with something in it. I saw another guy here. They're onto that. They're onto that kind of method of breaking people.
They
up.
Came up with it, right? Like
the writers
like,
guilt, yeah.
like they've known
yeah,
they,
the
they've
writers
known it
sort
all.
Of invented
like,
that concept. I yeah. think.
It's hard to come up with a way to break me out of cuz especially
But if
I'm,
anyone could come up with something that no writer would ever
It's true.
devise.
Cuz you got to figure the guy who yeah. created the show Prison Break is in the writers guilt.
Exactly.
So like it's very
He's
difficult to get
here.
Around he'd have to be.
Yeah.
Very difficult to get around a mind like that, but if someone could come up with an entirely new approach to bring someone out of prison that no one in the Writers Guild would ever conceive of, I truly believe Scuzzman is that person.
I don't disagree.
I'm going to work on it because, you know, I don't do hearings well. You know, I don't like to go to stuff like that. So
now, do you think that now what you're trying to say is that you're not, your hearing is a little not what it used to be?
My hearing is definitely not what it used to be. It's shot.
Well, once but the I don't bus like, got in the water, it led to so many infections for you.
I have a lot of water in my ears, and I can't seem to get rid of it.
And so
you
saying you're going to work on it, the prison break, it sounds to me like you're going to come up with something, but not anything right now.
No, I'm going to go back home.
That's not the process from what I gathered. Yeah.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to, you know, sit on it.
Okay.
And,
so experimenting with ideas for how to break down coming up with stuff, we're not doing that.
Well, we could maybe toss around a few balls. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, go back to the well of what we just talked about here, you know.
Okay.
Scabs and hockey. I think when I went on the hockey tangent, there might be something there.
So it has to
okay,
be something
so
we've already
we're
discussed.
What we're working with is is just the things that have been, things that have been brought up in this conversation, not as part of anything
specifics
related.
That resonated with you are just going to kind of pinball off each other. And hopefully that results in some kind of prison break
but
plan.
this is how you
how
get around the writer's guild.
No one else would approach it that way.
No one else.
True.
you hit the nail on the head, son.
Yeah, like the mongoose maybe plays a role or something.
Oh, I didn't I completely forgot about him. That would be a great idea.
The sum of things that have been discussed that you remember that we talked about.
Just sort of the scabs. Now the mongoose. And what if we kind of just got him out of the car, just let him loose in the WGA and run around.
Yeah,
and see
he
what...
can't get the there was the
him
issue
getting out of the
getting
car.
Him
would,
out.
Yeah, actually,
but we had gotten to the face. I don't. Maybe we were kind of like figuring out.
I think we were just going to work our way down the body. I mean, he basically said that.
So yeah, that's false advertising.
We went from the antlers to the face, and I kind of.
But he said what we were
going to
do with each thing. He said you're going to get the antlers and kind of go.
Yeah,
weaken the mind.
Yeah.
And then, but like, what would you do with the face?
Well, you got to get the face, and you got to start to talk to him, and then just kiss him a little bit on the face.
Oh,
kiss the mongoose on the face, and then. You start to kiss his neck.
What do you say?
So you do work your way down, yeah.
You do work your way down. I'm not saying you suck him off or anything like that. We're not getting there. Okay.
Okay. You're not like that.
No. No, I'm not like that. This is how you do it. And once you get to the belly, he should sort of relax into your arms. And you just chuck him out the window.
Okay.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question? I heard a rumor in here. I heard a rumor in the WGA prison that you are pitching another game show called Who Wants to Marry a Bussionaire? Is that correct?
Yeah,
is that what
true.
You're doing?
That's true.
Feels pretty disrespectful to me because that's an idea that we did discuss briefly.
You want to be involved with this project now?
Yes.
Well, he's going to need something to cover the legal fees when he gets out. Yeah.
Yes.
This sounds a little bit like bringing in the mongoose to kill the snake. Like, you're just going to have a new problem.
Well, this is the process of working with the Scuzzman, and it's a partnership that has been fraught, but it's yielded a lot of positive things in my life.
Yeah, it's a double-edged blade. You always say that.
Yeah.
Sharp on both sides.
Yeah, it's a blade that has two sides. They're both sharp, and they both sides cut you. But at the end of the day, you get a pretty cool sword out of it.
So they're both bad. Like,
yeah.
Both sides of the blade have...
But there's two different, totally different bad things that happen.
Yes, and on any given day, one of them...
You're acting like he's going to have the same problem.
No,
it's a very similar problem. I mean, much like
a totally new problem,
much like a double-edged blade, it's kind of the same problem.
But the strike's over. Wouldn't be the same problem.
That's true, except for the fact that I mean, it's like you brought up. It's mostly a plagiarism issue. I think at some point, I mean,
that element's not going away.
No, that's going to be sticky. I think at a certain point, the kind of just. Discovery phase of this hearing of like trying to figure out like how this show came to be. I feel like they kind of got tired of even getting to the bottom of it. And now what I'm mostly in trouble for is the Franklin and Bash stuff and the kind of
could be fun if they when they say they got tired, you could say like, oh well, that's the goal of going on Who Wants to Be a Bussionaire is getting tired.
Retired. Yeah, that whole area is
just
fun.
Getting tired. I think is fine. Yeah. I don't think like retired.
But am I wrong? None of the buses have tires.
Let's get retired.
No. Let's get retired. Or to retire a bus, put the tires back, like put tires on it again. We've been talking about putting tires on Scuzzman's bus before, but he's pretty against it. He wants to try other options.
Yeah.
Okay, I assume the tires
we've seen it. What you'll hear from Scuzzman a lot is, we've seen it. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
We've seen tires. Let's try to think of other things that could go replace wheels.
Someone says that something that we'll hear a lot from you, and then we do hear it. It's really like clockwork. We just hear it.
It feels good. It's satisfying.
It's
a formula that works.
It can be tough when you're kind of trying to write with the Scuzzman for him to say, I've seen that. I've heard that before.
Right.
I heard that just now when you said it. Like, that's not new.
You already pitched me that. Yeah.
You just pitched me that.
I said that. That was my idea. Don't say that to me. I don't want to see it ever again.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does challenge you to kind of find new, like, what Scuzzman always says is like creativity is best when there's like restrictions and boundaries and you're forced to kind of like,
yeah, you just go beyond what you even thought was possible because you're really even searching outside the confines of traditional language.
Why do any of these characters have to be people or animals or any kind of beings that we're familiar with? You know, why can't they be something else? Yeah. And I'm, you know, it's like,
where
what is
did
that?
You land on that?
You know,
what
I mean,
kind of creatures are we talking? I mean, like
kind of like cloud, like clouds, like almost that
clouds with
kind
antlers
of look like
is what I remember seeing.
Clouds
yeah.
with antlers is what, yeah. So you saw that cut, yeah. Clouds with antlers, kind of, you know, where Scuzzman would grab the antlers of the cloud and kind of like, you know, mind control it, and make the clouds rain.
I love to hear this because, you know, it's sort of like, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, and all the people that have worked with the Scuzzman, and it's sort of like my students.
Sorry, did Bill Belichick work with the Scuzzman? I didn't see the connection.
It's sort of like the coaching tree, you know, that comes from like Bill Belichick, like my writers, you know, working with me.
I guess now I'm wondering what it was that you heard that made you think of this. That you love to hear, because we've only been talking about one person. It's Dom.
How it's a challenge, you know, how it's a challenge for him to work with me, and it's right. obviously made his writing better. I mean, look at him right now. So
okay. I wouldn't point to my current situation as like proof of success, but
I guess they don't come for you unless you've had some level of success. Yeah, you know exactly. what I mean?
That's like, true. That's true. If we weren't making an impact, no one would have cared, you know? Mm-hmm. But all right, the idea of who wants to be a bussionaire is sound and it resonates with America.
But it's an idea that, you know, it resonated to an extent that it must have seemed dangerous to some of the powers that be.
Because they locked you up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they locked me up and they, you know,
you're revolutionary. You're revolutionary.
Yeah.
I'm
in some ways a political prisoner.
It's not unlike Bill Belichick and his coaching tree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what I think about in here every day. I'm like, I am kind of a Bill Belichick-like figure.
Oh, so you think you would be Bill in this scenario?
Whoa, wait. I thought I was Bill Belichick.
That's definitely what I thought, too.
Yeah,
I'm not
that
used
was also
to
what
being
I thought.
As in tune with what Scuzzman is thinking compared to you. Like,
yeah.
You're like a Mangini, Bill
like
O'Brien,
Brian Flores,
Romeo Crennel,
Josh McDaniels. We talk a lot about the Bill Belichick coaching tree in a lot of our writing sessions.
Yes, yes, Dean we did. And Scuzzman claims that there are two Bill Belichicks, that there are, is not just one, that there are there's kind of the one who wins and the one who loses, and that they're two different human beings.
Okay, that might be just a misconception about like when you cut away from him and then cut back to him, he thinks that's a different person because that's
good. They put happy Bill Belichick out there. They put sad Bill Belichick out there. Like
okay,
he thinks
so one
kind
is
of
happy and one, or they all have different emotions.
The one who's winning is kind of happy, although he's a pretty like frowny guy, I guess in general.
I think we need to disparage the facial expressions of a well-respected coach in order to make engaging podcasts. Like I'm not just not in for like the clickbait.
We don't
stuff.
Come like we
don't, go
on here.
We go
like
Bill Belichick is frowny.
Yes.
And
then that gets
the
aggregated
target.
By all the blogs. And then all of a sudden, like we're in these like heated X battles on the X website. That's just like not how we like to court engagement. So if you want to do that, go ahead and do it on, you know, another show.
And, you ain't Cat Williams. I just want to say. Like, you ain't him.
You ain't Cat Williams.
You ain't Cat Williams.
You ain't Cat Williams.
You ain't Cat Williams.
Cat could go out here and,
you ain't Cat Williams.
He can do his thing. He can say his stuff on...
He's earned that right.
Yes.
That's a hard-learned lesson for me, is trying to do the things Cat Williams does and getting just the worst feedback for
people don't want that.
They don't want it.
They don't
you.
Want it. They're they're either offended, they're confused when I call people pimping and stuff, and I... You know, when I wear the suits I wear and things, they don't
get beat up.
It hasn't
by
been
a
getting a great
schooler.
Response. And what's that?
Get beat up by a middle schooler.
I get beat up by a middle schooler. When I kind of do those things, people don't receive them in the way that I thought they might. But Scuzzman, you do a pretty good Cat Williams.
I do a pretty good Cat Williams.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.